Good evening. I'm Mary Lynn Polk, the lay leader here at Main Street, and I would like to welcome you to this wonderful service. We are delighted to have you here. We are even more delighted to have representatives of the lay and the clergy from 8 area Greenwood churches, including 96. We are gathering here tonight as a unified body of Christ to express our thanks to God, to remember those who are less fortunate than we are, and to help those who are busy helping others. Tonight's offering will be for the Piedmont Council on Aging's Meals on Wheels program. If you are writing a check, please make it out to Meals on Wheels. Now, the National Day of Thanksgiving has become much more of a financial event than one for our taking the time to thank God for our blessings. Today, we are here to take a brief while to thank God for all that we have benefited from. For the next few minutes, and the time does pass so quickly, for the next few minutes, we would like for you to please put aside the stress of cooking, of shopping, of traveling, and family concerns. Please quiet your hearts and minds and enter into a time of joyful worship and thanksgiving as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Good evening. Please stand for the call to worship. Worship the Lord in gladness. Come before him with joy Enter his gates with thanksgiving, with gratitude, sing out his praise. Praise the Creator who works great wonders, who ennobles us from birth, who treats us with compassion. Let us share our bread with the hungry. Let us not turn away from the needy. Sing a new song for the Lord. Where the faithful gather, let God be praised.
Please join me in our unison invocation. Gracious God, you are present in all times and places. Capture our attention in this time and place. Open our eyes to see the wonders you provide. Open our ears to hear your commandments, your ordinances, and your statutes. Open our hearts to care deeply about people in need, whatever that need might be. Awaken our generosity and sense of justice, that we may be inspired to helpful action. Open our mouths to shout and sing together for joy, sharing the good news of salvation. Amen.
Would you please open a Bible to the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy? If you would like to use one of the Pew Bibles, the text may be found on page 207 of the Old Testament portion. As you do that, on behalf of all of the other congregations involved, let me thank the congregation at Main Street United Methodist Church for being our gracious host tonight. Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of figs, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite you now to join in the singing of the Psalter. You will find this on page 5 of the bulletin. It is Psalm 100. The choir will be singing the words that you see at the bottom of the page. We ask you to join in with the refrain at the top of the page. This is a familiar tune. It's an old Shaker tune called Simple Gifts, and Joyce will play that now.
Sing to the Lord, oh sing, rejoice, let your songs ring out with every voice.
please turn with me for our epistle reading, which is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second letter, beginning chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Hear God's word through the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God.
Be seated. Larry leaned over to me after the choir sang. He said, "If you can't preach after that." I do want you to know just how thrilled I am to have you here at Main Street. It's just an absolute joy to have my fellow brother and sister pastors to be here and for us to be worshiping together like this. I'm ecumenical in my heart, and I love it when we get together and have times of worship, and I do pray that you too feel welcome. I was just thinking, as a young boy, how much I enjoyed having company. I don't know if we do much of that today. As a minister, we don't get many weekends to go off and visit other people. But I remember as a young boy, I was sharing with my son as we were riding back to Columbia the other day, the traditions that we used to enjoy and how we would sleep at grandmother's house, and there'd be about 6 of us children laying there on the floor in a pallet. And I declare, I don't know where the adults were sleeping. I guess there were some on the couch and in other places, but it was not unusual for somebody to pull up in the front yard and have their suitcases and all their children, and we had a good time together. So I do pray that you feel welcome, and that as a result of being here tonight, that your Thanksgiving will be so much richer. And I look forward, I was sharing with the choir a while ago that on December the 1st, Larry is bringing his friends, I should say. He is a part of a brass ensemble in Greenville. He goes up there a couple of days a week, I think, and practice. And they're going to be here, 7 octaves of handbells. We've printed tickets, and tickets are free. And on the tickets, it says, good for one and bring one friend. So we've got 350 tickets, and we'd love to have you and to come and be a part of this event that I think will make Greenwood's Christmas ring in with a wonderful celebration of the Advent and the Christmas season. So you circle that on your calendar, and also we'll be going down to First Baptist Church for lessons and carols. And my brain doesn't work real good if I don't have it in front of me, Larry. But Tony, why don't you just tell us what date that is?
December 11th.
December 11th, we'll be celebrating lessons and carols. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that as we celebrate the community. My congregation knows that I love history. My mother told me one time that I was born in the wrong age, that I liked old things, and I love to look at old things and go back to old houses, and I still like old cars and things of that nature. And it seems that almost every Thanksgiving that my mind goes back to those early pilgrims and what they endured to come to this land and to establish a nation. My heart was refreshed the other evening when I observed an individual who has started a petition, and I asked if the petition was correct when I heard someone say 250,000 signatures already to reclaim Thanksgiving. I like it. I don't like all this Christmas stuff taking place before Thanksgiving. I think it's anti-American. Thanksgiving should be more than a day before Black Friday. My son is working in Columbia, and he is helping a store to set up their products. And I said, when do you start work, son? He said, Black Friday. And I had to stop and think what he meant. And then I discovered it was what is referred to the Friday after Thanksgiving. I'm so glad that he has tomorrow off, so we'll have a lunch together, and I hope that many of you enjoy your family as well. But my mind seems to always return to that American literature class at Central Wesleyan College, reading again William Bradford's The Puritan Culture and the Journal of Plymouth Plantation. William Bradford quotes, he said that he was one of those on December the 11th who entered Plymouth Bay in the teeth of a snowstorm and stepped ashore, according to legend, on Plymouth Rock. His wife was lost overboard in his absence. One of the 50 of the 102 pilgrims who reached Plymouth who were to die within the first year. He also wrote, being thus arrived in good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven, who had brought them over the vast ocean and delivered them. And he continues to write and says in another place, what could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace? And let the children of these fathers rightly say, our fathers were Englishmen, which came over this great ocean and were ready to perish in the wilderness. But they cried unto the Lord, and he heard their voice and looked on their adversity. It is also interesting to look back at some of the developing statements about Thanksgiving. It wasn't until the Civil War, to be exact, that our Thanksgiving holiday was officially recognized by Congress. It had started in that small Plymouth colony in 1621, when the English pilgrims feasted with members of the Wampanoag Indians, who brought gifts of food as a gesture of goodwill. The custom grew in various colonies as means of celebrating the harvest, and in 1777, over 100 years later, the Continental Congress proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving after the American Revolutionary victory at the Battle of Saratoga. It was 12 years later that George Washington proclaimed another day of thanksgiving in honor of the ratification of the Constitution and requested that the Congress finally make it an annual event. They declined. So it would be another 100 years and the end of a bloody civil war before President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November Thanksgiving. The year was 1863. It might surprise you to learn that it took another 40 years, the early 1900s, before the tradition really caught on. For you see, Lincoln's official Thanksgiving was sanctioned in order to bolster the Union's morale. And many Southerners saw the new holiday as an attempt to impose Northern customs on their conquered land. We don't accuse them of that today. I was joking. Yesterday, I went into the fellowship hall with our preschool children as they were celebrating their Thanksgiving feast. The little children paraded down the hall with their little Indian dress on, and they were doing the woo-woo-woo-woo-woo. And they processed all the way in and came around to the front, and they began to serenade us. 10 little Indian boys and girls is what they sang. And I thought, how this day has changed in the history of our country and in my lifetime. Thanksgiving for many will be football, apple or pumpkin pie, and hopefully, as I mentioned a while ago, wonderful family reunions. Thank God that this is not a time of bitterness or ingratitude. But if we look at our lives and look at the history of our country, It does seem so often that when hard times come and the threat that gifts could be taken from us, that we are jolted into sudden recognition and gratitude. Many times in my ministry, when I have talked to those seasoned Christians of the faith, and I have spoken to them about how did you endure during the Great Depression, some have even told me stories of how their family endured during wars, and some memories have even gone back to what their grandmothers and mothers told them about the Civil War and about how the troops endured and what they encountered. I think that the first characteristic for a grateful people is to remember. William Bradford called for the pilgrims to remember that God had been with them as they traveled over a vast ocean. Maybe for some, we need to remember where we would be except for the grace of God. When I was in Bible school, we sang folk music, and one song we used to sing went something like this: "Show me the addict whose scars on his arm causes him to lose his self-will and turn to acid and use of those pills. Show me the drunkard who staggers out the door, and there but for Jesus Christ goes you or I." We do need to remember. We do need to think about who we are, whose we are, and where we could have been. I guess that we all have had hardships and trials. I suspect that most of us can talk of valleys that we have gone through. And we can reflect upon God's strength that has and is bringing us through. The second necessity, I think, of thankful people is humility. Today, as we come here to worship, the reality is that we have come to the acknowledgement that we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. In witnessing to a man one day, I was sharing with him about his need for a relationship with Christ. And I forever remember the statement that he said, "I do not think that I have been bad enough to go to hell." I responded by saying, "So, are you good enough to go to heaven?" And I remember the look on his face as he says, "No, I guess I'm not good enough to go to heaven." For as thankful people, we acknowledge that we are indebted to God. We belong to God. We are not our own. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ. We are the sheep of God's fold. It is God who has made us, and not we ourselves. As God said to Job, "And where were you, Job, when I formed the worlds?" The reality for us is that in our suffering, we discover our humanity and our vulnerability. Grateful people recognize God's goodness. I cannot tell you what happens to me when I enter this sanctuary or any of my friends' sanctuaries that I have been into since coming to Greenwood or at any other time. But as I enter the sacred place where we worship, it seems as though I'm always aware of the Almighty, that God's mercies have been extended long before my life ever began. And God's mercies and grace will continue after my death. And to stand sometimes beside the coffin of a dear saint of God and say, "Ashes to ashes and dust to dust," I affirm that God is still merciful, that God is still reaching out to us in love and care. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my favorite theologians, a German pastor, imprisoned in 1943 after being safe here in North America, and he made the statement, "How can I serve God in the safety of North America while my fellow brethren are suffering and dying in Germany?" And he returned to Germany and was arrested. He was arrested for his political and Christian opposition to the Nazi reign. And he understood Thanksgiving. For 2 years he was imprisoned. At times the war raged all around them. His cell was struck by collateral damage. The windows were blown out. He endured miserable cold in Germany. And I remember my dad telling me when he was in Germany that he saw water pipes freeze at 6 feet underground. That's cold. And he endured those cold winter days. On the day of sentencing, he conducted a service for the other prisoners. One of those prisoners was an English officer who survived World War II. He wrote these words, "Bonhoeffer always seemed to me to spread an atmosphere of happiness and joy over the least incident, and profound gratitude for the mere fact that he was alive. He was one of the very few persons I have ever met for whom God was real and always near. On Sunday, April the 8th, 1945, Pastor Bonhoeffer conducted a little service of worship and spoke to us in a way that went to the heart of all of us. He just found the right words to express the spirit of our imprisonment and the thoughts and resolutions he brought to us touched our hearts. He had hardly ended his last prayer when the door opened. Two civilians entered and they said, "Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with us." That only had one meaning for all the prisoners: the gallows. We said goodbye to him. He took me aside and whispered in my ear, "This is the end for me. It's the beginning of life." The next day he was hanged in Flossenbürg. The beginning of life for Bonhoeffer, where he worshiped God in a Gestapo prison with the gallows in view. He understood the meaning of Thanksgiving. That first Thanksgiving was born out of suffering, survival, and gratitude. We as a nation gather here tonight, and we have suffered wars. We have been attacked. We are enduring economic turmoil and an uncertain future. And in your life tonight, there could be other events. And we have all the more reason to celebrate Thanksgiving in remembrance, humility, and understanding that God is good and that God's mercies endure forever. Amen.
Let me point out that as we offer the prayers of the people, as you will be guided by the printed order of worship, at the appropriate place, you are invited to speak aloud individual expressions of thanksgiving or prayer requests. And let me note that when we come to the Lord's Prayer, it may not be exactly as you say it in your church, so you may want to follow the printed text. Let us pray together. Creator God, we give you thanks for this day, this chance to worship with our neighbors and praise your name. For you are the one, the only, the great I am, the God of all creation. We bring to you our triumphs and sorrows, our joys and cares, our daily lives. All that we are is yours. Hear the voices of your people. God, in your mercy. God of love, you have brought us into community with people of every time and place. We give you thanks and praise for this gift. Open the hearts of all your people that we may see our differences as a joyful expression of your never-ending creation. Instill in us a spirit of acceptance and understanding. God, in your mercy. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of the world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. Thank you for the material abundance in which we live, and help us share your many blessings with all of your children. God, in your mercy. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. God, in your mercy. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We offer now our individual prayers of concerns and gratitude. God, in your mercy. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. With joy and gladness we pray the prayer Christ Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for letting me come to the community service today, and thank you for the generous donation that y'all are going to give to Meals on Wheels. My job at the agency is public relations and acknowledging the wonderful donors that we have and fundraising. The agency is celebrating its 40th birthday this year, and with that, we have always been the main service provider for services in Greenwood and Abbeville County for seniors. Programs that we have include our Meals on Wheels program, but we also have congregate meal programs in Greenwood, Abbeville, and 96. We also have transportation, and we have our biggest fundraiser, our Intergenerational Daycare Lifetime Discoveries, which houses about 150 children every day. The Meals on Wheels program has a one-third RDA meal. Those meals are served in the variety of hot, frozen, but also in our box meal program, which is about 2 weeks worth of meals in a box. With us suffering with $150,000 worth of cutbacks, one thing that we decided as a staff is that none of our seniors would have to come off the program. And doing that, this box meal program was a great alternative because it's a more affordable way for us to give the seniors the one-third RDA meal. And of course, these have got to be for seniors that can prepare the meals a little bit better than the ones that need them hot. That being said, we also have not been able to put anybody on the service. So we have a waiting list right now of about 150. So even though we've been able to look at a lot of the seniors and tell them they can still get meals, we've had to look at a lot of people in our community and tell them that we couldn't put them on a service that they desperately needed. I want you to know, in saying that, how much we appreciate what you're doing tonight. And tomorrow, we will serve probably over 100 meals to seniors in our community that will not have family to eat with. So this meal that's going out is not part of our, one-third RDA. It's just a good turkey dinner that they're going to get. But we'll have people come in and volunteer and serve them these lunches tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day. The majority of our meals are delivered by volunteers. We have a pool of about 200 volunteers. So you can imagine the volunteers are just as much of important of a lifeline as the meal itself. A lot of our volunteers find the seniors fallen, lethargic, or just not themselves. And we've had cases where probably if our volunteer would not have been in the home that day, they might not still be with us. So we are not only grateful for the meal that we serve, but the people that go out and do that, because without the money or without the volunteers, we would not be able to do this. Our agency has a proven track record of financial sound, and we're very diligent with the money that you give us, and we try to stretch the dollars as much as we can for seniors in our community. So rest assured that whatever you give tonight will not only be greatly appreciated, but we will also handle it in the best manner we can. Thank you.
us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, for the privilege to give during this season of the year for those who are less fortunate and those who have needs to be fed. Holy God, let this gift go forward from this place to meet the needs of those least of these, as we give praise to you, the God of heaven, in whose name we pray. Amen. Receive now the blessing. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide with you and keep you as you remember, as you humbly embrace God's blessings, and as you understand that God is good. Amen.